The battle over the youth of America is our topic for this particular portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and our guest is Dr. Alex McFarland, who is an author of many books. He's a speaker, he's a radio host, and his ministry is Truth for a New Generation. He has a heart for reaching millennials for Christ. One of the books that he co-wrote is called Stand Strong, America. The book has been described this way: Stand Strong America provides Americans real answers and courage to stand strong in the midst of uncertainty and fear, offering a vision of hope that reignites the fervor and courageous faith that existed when the Republic of America was created. So we welcome back Alex McFarland. Alex, thanks so much for being with us.
Oh, it's always a great honor. I have such respect for you, Brother Jerry, and all that you do with Providence Forum, and anytime you and I can converse, it's a great honor.
Well, thank you, and likewise. And it's so interesting when you're talking about the courage and the faith that existed when the Republic of America was created. My goodness, the founding fathers, for example, in the Declaration of Independence, they said, with a firm reliance on divine providence, meaning God, with a firm reliance on God, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. And they meant that. They meant those words. What a commitment.
Oh, they absolutely meant those words. And, you know, just the fact that we could prevail in the American Revolution, and then in a very, very short span of time, Jerry, became that city on a hill. I mean, the greatest, most prosperous, most technologically innovative nation in history. I mean, it's just nothing short of miraculous. But, Jerry, what you and I are seeing is the really coalescence of several decades of the secularization of America. In fact, as you and I do this program, I am at the first of six youth camps. I've got the privilege of, as we've done for 25 years, organizing summer youth camps. I'll be in front of 1,250 teenagers this summer, and I just stepped away from 130 teens that I was speaking to. And here's the thing: that in public schooling, unless a child goes to a solidly Christian school, K through 12, kids today are getting just a secular view. Really, this is kind of the what John Dewey and the humanists 100 years ago began to envision, an America that was not based on a Christian worldview, an America that was not based on absolute moral truth and constitutional principles, but really kind of a humanist, Marxist, man-made utopia. But the good news, Jerry, is kids are hungry for truth. Even kids without a necessarily Christian background, they seem to intuitively understand that there's a story they're not being told. And what we do, what you're doing, and what all of our conferences and camps do, we tell kids who Jesus is. We tell them how their life has meaning because they were designed by God. And we tell them the truth about the United States of America, that we have been the greatest nation in the world, and we will be once again as we return to our Christian foundations. And I can say, and I'm in front of tens of thousands of youth every year, they eagerly embrace the truth when it's presented.
And you say there's a hunger then among the youth for the truth. They feel like maybe many of them feel like they've been lied to.
Oh, absolutely. Whether it's, you know, Darwinian evolution and moral relativism, and then even things like gender, and just the idea that gender is fluid rather than what science and common sense tell us, that male and female are objective categories of being. Listen, I don't mean to talk about what we're doing so much, because there's so many incredible godly leaders out there. I could name so many names, like Josh McDowell and Sean McDowell and Alan Parr, and a lot of great young apologists that God is raising up. But just recently, we did a retreat with 183 teenagers, and about 25% made a first-time salvation decision and accepted Christ. The other kids were already believers. These are middle school and high school. I asked them to commit to pray for their campus, to pray for their peers, and 183 came for nearly an hour-long altar call to pray for America and to commit to be the best they could be for God and country, whether it be whatever field of endeavor, business, education, medicine, the sciences. But we challenge kids to go into these realms and take their biblical worldview with them. Well, about a week after this particular camp, I was speaking, and several carloads of teenagers showed up from this recent retreat. And the moms and dads came in. They said, oh, Mr. McFarland, you know, these kids, they love you. They love your staff. And I asked these kids, I interviewed these middle schoolers and high schoolers that would drive 3 hours to hear a lecture on America. And I said, I appreciate you would come, but I'm just honored. And one of the young men, he was a 10th grader, he said, Mr. McFarland, you tell us stuff we just don't hear anywhere else. Now, I could repeat that story, Jerry, 100 times over, but here's what I'm saying. Kids are hungry for truth about God. They're hungry for truth about their own identity and their purpose, and they're hungry for truth about America. And I love it when I hear of churches, youth ministries, pastors, parents, they're imparting into the lives of young people a love for God and country, because that is so urgently needed, but it's so zealously received when kids are told the truth about God and country.
What do you think a lot of these kids happen to think about George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, James Madison, the Ben Franklin, the people that laid it on the line to, you know, help us so we become a free country? And then before those people, the Pilgrims and the Puritans and the Quakers and the Presbyterians and so forth that played such a pivotal role in the founding of America.
Well, you know, a child recently said to me, we were talking about George Washington, and I remarked how since COVID, at least 133 statues of our founders from Christopher Columbus. It's like it's open season on Christopher Columbus, as I'm sure you know. But this one teenager said to me about George Washington, he said, and I had to laugh, this is wonderful middle school logic. But he said, well, he made it on to the money. He can't be all bad. And I said, that's right. In fact, you know, George Washington was incredibly godly and incredibly courageous and an amazing leader. But it so often is the case that kids, they simply don't know. I mean, they haven't really been told much. You know, Common Core curriculum, and I was on a committee to do an evaluation of Common Core, which I gave it a resounding thumbs down. But Common Core, in one of its early iterations, didn't even mention Thomas Jefferson or even Martin Luther King Jr. And so there, as I'm sure many of your viewers and listeners know, public secular K-12 education has in recent years been much more about imparting a globalist ideology, a socialist ideology, radical environmentalism, I call them the climate crazies, rather than teaching truth about history. And so when it comes to our founders, whether it be Washington or Jefferson or Benjamin Franklin, James Madison, John Adams, the core people that built the greatest republic and the greatest country, most of the kids, it's just a blank slate. They've not been told much of anything about our founders, or if they are told anything, they're told that they were slave owners and that they were evil, you know, white supremacist Europeans. But what they aren't told, but yet kids really resonate quickly and favorably, is that at a time when slavery had been the norm globally for centuries, you know, just within 14 years of the ratification of our Constitution, we were not entering into treaties with slave trading nations. A few decades beyond that, we fought an internal civil war with ourselves to get slavery ended. What other nation had done that? Only America. We were at the absolute vanguard of human rights and liberty because we were based on a worldview that said all people are made in the image of God and have inherent worth and value. So kids, they might be neutral to negative, but they are inquisitive. And Jerry, I encourage churches, I know with Providence Forum, you have made a lot of very excellent documentaries and videos. I've shown these in churches. I've shown these at some of my camps. And people of all ages, but especially young people, need to learn not just secular civics, but to be an American is to be a blessing from a sovereign God. We're a nation that was no economic accident or experiment. I believe, Jerry, because of our role in the Great Commission, I believe that God providentially raised up the United States of America. I believe God blessed and prospered America so that we could be a blessing. And what I tell kids and our staff and our events, publishing, broadcasting, we tell American youth that they are part of something really big that God has been doing. And there's been opposition. Satan does not like the fact that America has been a beacon of truth and hope to the world. But kids want a purpose. They want something to live for. And the story of America's godly heritage is a narrative that they know they can be a part of, and God designed them to be a part of it. And so I'm just thrilled. I'm not saying that we're not in the midst of some serious battles. We really are. But I'm thrilled that the truth still takes root when it's proclaimed to hungry hearts and ears.
Excellent. Okay, we have about 2 minutes left. By the way, just one quick aside. I don't know if you know this, but Adoniram Judson, as you well know, was like the first great missionary produced in America to go, in foreign lands. Okay. Do you know where he's buried, Adoniram Judson? That man.
India, maybe?
No. He's not buried in Burma where he ended up. He was on his way to India. He wanted to go to India at one point, I believe. But anyway, he is actually buried in the same cemetery where William Bradford is buried. He is buried in Plymouth, Massachusetts, which I think is really cool because America, in a very real sense, has a great start with the Pilgrims. When they were blown off course, they made the first type of, kind of a proto-constitution, if you will, proto-declaration of independence in the Mayflower Compact on board the Mayflower before they even set foot on American soil. So I think that's really a cool thing. Okay, we have about a minute left. What would you like to say about the battle over youth and how we can get this message to them about America really is an exceptional nation? This is why people to this day will risk their lives to try and make it here so that maybe they could experience what we take for granted every day.
Well, Jerry, again, thank you for having me on. It's always a great honor, and I have such respect for you. But I would just say that we have to be in this for the long haul. I mean, we really have to have a long view. And to pastors and those in positions of leadership, let me say, yes, the primary message is the gospel, obviously, to introduce people to a relationship with Christ. But the church is here to be salt and light. And as Augustine said 1,600 years ago, until we are in the city of God, we have an obligation to the city of man. And we know Christ is coming, but till we're in his presence, let's fight the good fight and defend our nation.
All right, Alex McFarland. People can learn about your ministry at Alex McFarland, MCFARLAND.com. Alex, always a pleasure.
God bless you. Thank you, Jerry.